Let's confess our faith concerning the importance of knowing the law of God. And if you turn in your songbooks to page 893 at the back, page 893. We've come to the end of our study of the Ten Commandments. We've asked the question, can those converted to God keep these commandments perfectly? And we've said, God's word teaches us that we cannot. Nobody can. In this life, even the holiest have only a small beginning of this obedience. Nevertheless, with all seriousness of purpose, they do begin to live according to all, not only some, of God's commandments. This afternoon, we want to look at 115. 115. Since no one in this life can keep the Ten Commandments perfectly, why does God want them preached so pointedly? Why not just give up, say nobody's perfect, who cares anyway? Why does God have such an interest in having his law preached so pointedly when we can't keep the Ten Commandments perfectly? First, so that all our life long we may more and more come to know our sinful nature and thus more eagerly seek the forgiveness of sins and righteousness in Christ. Second, so that we may never stop striving and never stop praying. Never stop striving and never stop praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit so that we might be renewed more and more after God's image until after this life we reach our goal, perfection. Perfection. Paul speaks of that goal for his own life personally as an example for us to imitate in Philippians 3. Let's read together from Philippians 3, verses 8 through 16. Philippians 3, verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And I would like to read verses 12, 13, and 14 again. 12, 13, and 14 of Philippians 3. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. May God set this before us as the great goal of the Christian life, the destination to which we're heading as we transition from 2020 to 2021. People of God in Christ Jesus, as we come to the end of another year, 2020, how far ahead are you looking? What goals have you set for yourself? And where is your life headed? What have you set before yourself as the finish line, the destination for 2021? Of all people, Christians have a very unique answer to this question. What's your aim? Perfection. Perfection is the one and only acceptable aim of the Christian. Is that your aim, brothers and sisters? Or have you lost sight of that in the midst of the muddle, the imperfections of life? And you've kind of given up on striving toward perfection. Well, may the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministered to us through the Apostle Paul, spur us on again to repent of having lost sight of that goal, to remind us of the reason for which Christ saved us and the goal he set before us. For Christ's sake, keep going. For Christ's sake, keep going. We want to see where we're headed, verse 12. Where we are, Philippians 3, verse 13. And how we're going to get there, 3, verse 14. Where we're headed, where we are, how we're going to get there, where we're headed. We looked last week at the error of perfectionism. Remember that? Taught by John Wesley and the Higher Life Holiness Movement that teaches us that a Christian can and sometimes does achieve a point of sinlessness in this life. Outward sinlessness and inward sinlessness. That you can achieve a level of living without sin. That's an error. We looked at that last week from 1 John 1. If we say we have no sin, we lie. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. And any study of the Ten Commandments puts us in the bright light of God's holiness. And the closer you get to that bright light, the more you see the sin stains on your life. Haven't you seen more again in 2020? The flaws in your character, the weaknesses in your life, the tendencies to sin? Haven't you seen again just how much you need that blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin? How thankful we are for that fountain of cleansing that opened up for us the day Jesus Christ died on the cross for all the sins of all his people. We can always go there to get washed. Perfectionism. But there's an opposite error, which is a far bigger problem today. Complacency. Spiritual laziness. There is a disturbing lack of concern about the fact that we sin and that our sin is deeply offensive to God. We're sort of like in a who cares mode. We shrug our shoulders at sin's inevitability. We just accept sin as a part of life. And we're okay with that. We almost justify sin in our life with glib lines like, we all sin. Nobody's perfect. We're sinners, you know. And what a ghastly attitude for a Christian to have toward something that God hates so much and something that we ought to hate so much, sin. We challenge perfectionism. But brothers and sisters, let's challenge especially complacency. It's easy, writes one author, for me to criticize sinless perfectionism because I don't know personally any Christian who struggles with this doctrine right now. But I dare say I know an entire evangelical culture that is complacent about sin, he writes. We've forgotten that sin is ugly, grotesque, and highly offensive to God, and absolutely despicable, nauseating to him. He hates sin with all his heart, including the sins of his people. We've forgotten that God's will for our lives is to be holy. 1 Thessalonians 4. We've forgotten that what Christians look forward to above all else is Jesus coming back to take away our sin totally. And we've forgotten that anyone who truly desires that day to come will be obsessed with living a holy life now as a way to get ready for Jesus to return. I want to be ready for my bridegroom, looking as good as I can. 2 Peter 3 speaks about that. In fact, as Christians, we wish perfectionism were true. If only I could live without sin. We want it to be so. The spirit of holiness lives in us, prompting us to be sorrowful, to grieve over our sins and our weaknesses and the blemishes on our character. The Holy Spirit lives in us and makes us eager to press on toward perfection. And that's what Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 12. He's been talking in verse 10 and 11 about his great desire. I want to be totally conformed to the image of Christ. In his suffering, I want to be conformed to his sufferings. So all sin and blemishes are gone. I want to be totally conformed to his resurrection so that all glory has come in, so that I am perfectly recreated in the image of Christ, a perfect man. That's my goal. Then he says in verse 12, not that I've already attained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make this my own. That was my goal in 2020, Paul would say, and it's my goal moving into 2021. As far as the horizon of the future stretches forward, this is where I'm going with my life. I'm pressing on toward this. Paul says, we haven't obtained perfection. But he doesn't use this as an excuse to say, well, I guess that's just the way it's going to be. He uses that as a reason to say, so I'm going to press all the more. I'm going to press on all the more toward perfection, toward that total conformity to Jesus Christ. At the end of this year, God is reminding us to keep before us the goal of perfection, like Paul, not just as a general goal for everybody, but he personalizes it. This is my goal for me, Paul says. And then if you have your Bibles open and look ahead to verse 17, he tells us what to do with this fact that this is Paul's goal for Paul. Brothers, join in imitating me. This is my goal for me. And I'm telling you this because I want my goal for me also to be your goal for you. And then he says more. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. And look around and see others who have made this their goal. And let them be models for you too. The idea is that everyone sets this as a personal goal for himself and encourage everybody else around them to make them that personal goal for themselves. That's why Paul personalizes this and says, this is my goal for me. And anybody who has a bit of Christian maturity, he says in the next verse, this is your goal for you too. Brothers and sisters, this is why God keeps the Ten Commandments before our eyes. They are Mr. Perfect, number 10, the Ten Commandments. They are Jesus. Remember that? They're Jesus on two legs. That's Mr. Perfect. That's Mrs. Perfect. That's Miss Perfect. And he keeps that before us, not only to show us our blemishes, but show us, keep before us, who we want to become. That's why it's important to keep the law before us. Because of the beauty of perfection that's found in God's righteous commandments. The beauty of Jesus, who kept them perfectly and died for us for all our breaking of them. So that we could also then be forgiven our sins and have him as our goal. So we say in the catechism, why does God want the catechism or the commandments preached so pointedly, even though we can't keep them? So we may never stop striving and never stop praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, so that we might be renewed more and more after God's image until after this life we reach our goal, perfection. That is, starting now, we're moving toward renewal in God's image and aiming for the destination perfection, even though we can't arrive there until after this life. That doesn't stop us from making perfection our aim now. See, there's biblical realism here. Also in Philippians 3, we won't attain perfection until after this life. But there's also biblical idealism. We'll never stop striving for it right now. And here's my concern for us, people of God, that we may have lost sight of this biblical idealism and just kind of given up striving toward perfection and have just sort of become ho-hum. Yeah, sin is just our lot in life. And a few years ago, maybe you were reading the Bible and you were studying and you were pressing hard to become more mature and more like Christ, and life has happened and you've sort of given up on that. And this is a call to repent of giving up. Ask Jesus Christ to forgive you for that. The cross will cover that. And ask him to fill you with his Spirit to renew in you that goal for the coming year. To desire, to strive for perfection. That's where we're headed. And we have to keep that before us, even secondly, as we consider where we're at now. Verse 13. Brothers, I don't consider that I have made it my own. I have not reached perfection. That's where we're at now. We eagerly pursue perfection. But we don't consider ourselves as having made it our own. We're biblical realists. We are open to an honest self-assessment that Paul gives of himself in Romans 7. So raw in its realism. It makes us to grimace what Paul says about himself. I'm sold as a slave to sin. What? You must be overstating it. And the evil that I hate, I do. The good that I delight in, I don't do. Wretched man that I am. Oh, come on, Paul. Who will rescue me from this body of death? These words seem so negative and so contrary to the aspiration toward perfection, but they're not. They live together in the same believer. Eager aspiration toward perfection and humble recognition of imperfection. They have to live together in the same person, or we're not biblical Christians. Where we're at now, we haven't reached perfection. There's still so much unholiness in me, and I grieve, I sorrow over my sin. And so repentance and faith have to live together in our lives. where as we repent of our sin and faith, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and we look to him for two gifts, the blood of Calvary to cover our sins, to forgive us, the Spirit of Christ to renew in us a desire to keep on going, to keep on moving toward perfection. That's where we're at now. This also is got to be part of the goal of our lives. This acknowledgement of where we're at now. That we make it our goal, brothers and sisters, to aim at a humble recognition of where we're truly at. An honest self-assessment. Lord, tell me where I really am at. Tell me where I'm failing miserably, Lord. Use your law to do that in me. Show me where I need to do much better. I had this little thought experiment last week, a kind of a scary one. You know how sometimes we draw names for Christmas and you put all the names of your loved ones in a pot and you pick one out and that's the one you need to buy a present for. Imagine if we did drawing names for New Year's. And your family or your close friends, you all put your name in a pot, you draw one. Now it's your job to write a letter to that person and say, here's where I see the greatest challenge in your life, the greatest weakness, and here's where I believe you need to make most effort at striving toward perfection in 2021. Maybe we ought to do that for New Year's. This year. Scary. But part of having this goal toward perfection is being willing to see and to be told, be helped by others. Oh, let's speak to one another in love about these things. But only love will make somebody willing to be honest with you about yourself and honest with me about myself. And that we open our lives to the constructive criticism of loved ones, of friends, of elders, so that in this way, the ministry of the law of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, may continue to work in us as we see where we're at, we see all the more where we need to get. It's a so important part of, such an important part of the Christian life. Toward striving toward perfection, you need to see where your life is at right now. Sadly, many Christians have no goal in their life to change at all. I am the way I am, and you're going to have to accept me that way. Dear brother, dear sister, if you are settled on that, that is not Christian in any way. None of this experience of the Apostle Paul is in your life, this experience of the believer. And I urge you to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sin to him. Maybe it'll be the first time in reality. Ask him to forgive you and make you new, fill you with his Spirit. And when he does, this change will overcome your life. Where now you begin to see a goal called perfection. You begin to see how far you are from that. And you begin to long to move that way and long for support from others to move that way. And open to the ministry of the law. Open to the ministry of comparing yourself to perfection, to Mr. Perfection Jesus. And asking for grace to move forward in 2021. Oh, Lord, make us zealous for growth, for striving toward perfection. Only the Holy Spirit of Jesus can give us this renewed readiness for recognizing where we're at. And then we see, thirdly, how are we going to get there? How are we going to get there? Again, I love the example of the Apostle Paul. In his recognition of his weaknesses in Romans 7 and also in Philippians 3. What a wretched man I am, right? The good I want to do, I don't. The evil I don't want to do, I do. He could just settle on that and say, well, that's just the way it is. Lord Jesus, take me now, because I don't want to have to go through any of this struggle. But he doesn't settle there. He doesn't settle there at all. He doesn't make that confession of sin an excuse to keep on sinning, an excuse to stay the way he is, but a reason, a motivator to change. And that's what he says here in these verses, that he wants to press on toward perfection. When he describes here how we're going to get there, he talks about four things in these three verses. I'm going to call them pressing, leaning, forgetting, and focusing. How we're going to get there? Pressing, leaning, or forgetting, I should say, pressing, forgetting, leaning, and focusing. Pressing. These are the bookends of the passage. He mentions pressing onward in verse 12. He says that again in verse 14, pressing onward. Not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, verse 12, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. Then again in verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Total conformity to Jesus Christ. The word press or press on means to run swiftly in order to catch a person or a thing. It's the favorite word in the New Testament for persecution. That seems weird. But you're hunting. You're chasing after somebody. You're not going to quit until you got them. That's a negative use of the word. This is a positive use. I'm chasing. I'm running. I'm pursuing. I'm hunting this goal. I'm not going to stop until I got it. Or I got him, Jesus. Pressing forward. I not only make this my goal, I push hard for it. You can say, well, that's my goal, and then sit in an easy chair and make no efforts to grow. Whereas Peter says in 2 Peter 1, make every effort to fill out your faith with goodness and excellence and endurance or perseverance and brotherly love, right? Pressing. The second is focusing. Pressing, then focusing. Look at verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, this perfection. I'm not arrived. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal. One thing I do. Paul's got his focus on one thing ultimately. Now, he's in prison at this point. And he's got a lot of ministry stuff on his list of things to do. I want to get out of prison. I want to visit the believers, the church in Ephesus, and I want to visit the church in Corinth, and I want to meet Timothy, and I want to write a letter to the church at Colossae. I don't know what he's all got on his list. But if you could say to Paul, okay, but tell us in one thing, one word, what's the one thing on your agenda, Paul, really? To become like Christ. To reach perfection. And not just by myself, later together with all the saints. Perfection. That's the one thing. The idea is, brothers and sisters, that we organize all of 2021 around this. I want to take two steps forward in my business. I want to take 20 steps forward in Christ-likeness. That whatever we have planned for family, for work, for recreation, for study, that the one thing that always tops everything, the one thing toward which everything else is funneled, is perfection. Total conformity to Jesus Christ. That's the reason he saved you. He took hold of you. Focus. Pressing? Pushing, pushing on. Focus. Keeping your eye on the prize, the goal. Then forgetting. I love that expression there in verse 13. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. For a runner to run a race, if he looks behind him to see what kind of ground he's covered or what kind of noise is distracting him back there, he's going to lose his pace. He's going to get his eyes off the finish line. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. You can focus on the great achievements of last year and rest on your laurels. Well, I've come this far. I really don't have to press hard anymore. Or you can focus on the pains and hold a pity party for yourself. It was so hard. God was not fair. Paul says, don't do that. Oh, you can remember the past with thanksgiving. But in terms of focusing on what's behind you, forget it. And that leads to the fourth thing. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Leaning forward. Every runner leans forward toward the finish line. He doesn't run leaning backward. And that's the idea, that we need to lean forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. That's what believers are straining after, the prize of perfect glory in Christ Jesus. Let's end with that challenge. Brothers and sisters, have you forgotten to be goal-oriented? Oh, no, I've got all kinds of goals. No, no. Have you forgotten to hold the Christian goal before you and be that goal-oriented? Do you want more than anything else to become like your Savior? Just look at the end of the chapter. If you want to wonder, really, what's the prize? What's the goal Paul's running after? He says it explicitly in chapter 3, Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Look at 3 verses 20 and 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't even say we await perfection. We await Jesus. Remember what John says? For when we see him, we shall become like him, for we will see him as he is. The sight of him will immediately transform us to total glory. That's how awesome and powerful and holy and gracious Jesus is. Well, that's what he says here. We await a Savior from heaven, Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Let's keep that goal, perfection, before us, but even more, let's keep him before us. He died and rose to give us this great destiny. That's the destiny of every believer. And wherever you're at, even if you are in the give up mode, today's the day to renew your commitment to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. To know that in him you can always turn over a new leaf and start a new chapter. Let's start that today. Brothers and sisters, may God go with you in the rest of this week, the rest of this year, and in the year to come. And may he grant us grace to strive toward perfection in the prayer that he will supply us with whatever we need every day. Amen.